Mark chapter 2. We're going to read a verse there, and then we'll come back to it here in a little bit. Mark chapter 2, verse 15, it says, or you can go ahead and stand if you like. It says, "And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him." Let's pray. Lord, we come to you right now. Just thank you for this day. Thank you for these people that are here tonight, God. Thank you for Brother Jeremy allowing me to come and speak tonight, Lord. But God, I yield myself to you right now. I yield every inch of my body to you, that you would help me. Just fill me with your spirit and your power tonight, God. We just thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about friends. And how many of you have a friend? Raise your hand. If you got a friend in here, I mean, how many of you got friends you like? All right, how many of you got friends you don't like? How many of you got friends you don't like that are in here? A bunch of cowards out there. No, raise your hand. No. Where's the pastor at? Oh, there he is. You got any friends in here you like? I'll just stop there. I don't want to cause a church split here in a minute. Anyways. But, you know, a lot of times we have friends we like, and oftentimes we don't really. Sometimes we tend to stray away from people that we think are a little bit weird, maybe. I don't know. I mean, if I look out across this room, everybody's a little bit weird, right? I mean, I'm just talking truth here. I mean, of course, I may not get support after tonight, but it's all right. But no, the truth is, we're all a little bit weird in our own ways. I mean, my wife would definitely say I'm weird in certain ways. And she's like, "Why do you need that much ammunition?" I said, "Because I'm a patriot, that's why." No. We got some good Christians in here, I hear that. And but anyways, there's two types of friends that in this world. And ones you like and ones you don't like. And you know, although this is kind of funny a little bit, but there's a lot of truth to this. Is that you know, the ones you like, they're easy to be friends with. You kind of have the same likes, same dislikes, same interest in that sort of thing. But then oftentimes that you have some, there may be some friends that you probably just really wouldn't want to hang out with on the weekend, because some of them might want to play, I don't know, some kind of, well, for instance, somebody might be who's got a favorite football team in here? What is it?
The Bengals.
The Bengals, okay. I'm not a sports guy. I'm more of a, I don't know, I like guns. That's kind of, I'm a gun guy. And camping, that kind of stuff, you know, roughing it a little bit, sort of my thing. But, you know, if you got two people that don't like the same team, are you going to hang out with them on the weekends or watch the game together? I don't think so, because you'll probably end up fighting, right? I don't know. But anyways, but both types of friends are equally important. They're both needed. And and so go and turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1. We're going to read a couple of verses here. "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul." Verse 4. "And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David. and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. Verse 5. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servant. We're going to talk about the ones, friends you like, ones you like for a few minutes here. You know, it said in the verse there, this, the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. They were like one. They were best friends. They, for some reason, they had something. There was something there that caused them. They had the same interests. They had the same likes. They had everything that they were kind of headed. They had probably about the same goals in life. They had the same interest in all that, and so their friendship was so, they were so close. It was like they were brothers. Sometimes even closer than what you might be with your own brother, because you're sometimes if you knew my brother and me, we're completely different people. I mean, the one guy likes John Deere, which I mean is from the, you know, down south, right? No, and I'm an international guy, so we had, if you saw my brother in his bedroom growing up, one side of it was green, the other side was red. It was like Christmas colors year round. But the fact is that Saul, or that Jonathan and David, their friendship was so close that they loved each other. And it was probably because, here's a couple reasons what might have brought them to have such a close friendship. And one, it could be that, you know, Jonathan just saw David kill Goliath. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, I want to get close to that guy. I mean, that guy had some, I mean, he was bold. I mean, you see how scrawny he was? But I mean, he went out there and he just took his little BB gun, or actually it was a sling or whatever, and a rock. Smooth stone, to be exact. But he went out there and he just walked up there, and he's, of course, in the Lord's power and might and everything. He just started slinging that thing and, I mean, killed Goliath. And, you know, that'd be a reason. I'd want to get, I mean, if I'm a man of war and I see somebody do that, I want to see what he's got that I don't have. I want to learn from that, maybe. I want to get close to him. And, but then also David, he was probably around 18 years old at that point, and Jonathan, he was somewhere maybe about 10 years older than him, and so the friendship there, just the maturity level was probably somewhat the same, just because David was, his faith and trust was so much in the Lord, and so that could be something else that draw them together. And then Jonathan, and he just probably loved the fearlessness and the courage that David had, and with that, so, and he was probably just thinking, I just want to get to know him. But and so after that, before you know it, Jonathan and David, they were best friends. But it's because they had a common interest. It was a common interest that caused them to love one another, to desire to be in one's company, to desire to just kind of go through life together if they could. And so their personalities, they were probably fit like a glove with each other. They probably laughed at the same jokes. They probably thought had the same interests. They probably both liked a really sharp knife. I mean, who likes a really sharp knife in here? I mean, I like really sharp. We friends, right? No. And anyways, but the fact is, they were both men. They were both kind of heading in the same direction, and so that's what kind of brought them together to have the strong friendship that they had. And so, and just give an example in my own life. I've got a friend that I met at college about 10 years ago, and when I first went there, and you know, he's my best friend. If I called him right now, he would. And if I needed him right now, he'd jump in his car and he'd be on his way. And it's a blessing to have a friend like that. But you know, that friendship, it started because we had the same interest. We had the same likes. We were both kind of heading in the same direction in life. We both believed about just things in life. We believed the same way, which caused us to have a common interest, which led him to become my best friend. And he was actually the best man in my wedding. I mean, he's the best friend I've probably ever had. And you know, I believe that they that John or what I say John. David and Jonathan were friends for those reasons, but the fact is, it's easy to have a friendship with somebody that you like. It's easy to be friends with somebody that you and do for somebody and that you like. It's easy for you to help somebody out when it's an inconvenience for you. When you like him, right? It's easy for us to love somebody when we like him. It's easy for us to do that. And you know, that type of friendship, it's good. We need those. We need two types of friendships, and one is the friends that you like, and then the next is the friends that you don't like. And so let's go and turn back to Mark chapter 2, verse 15. We read that verse earlier, but I'm going to read it again here. It says, "And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples." Let's think about that for a minute. Now, Jesus was a friend to sinners and publicans. Jesus is the greatest example of a Christian we could ever have. I mean, he's the perfect. I don't want people to think or to desire to be a Christian like Brother Jeremy back there, Brother Will. I don't want them to desire to be a Christian like them, although they are very good Christians. They still fall short of Jesus Christ, and I fall short of Jesus Christ. The person that I want to point people to is Jesus Christ, because he is the greatest, he is the purest, he is the holiest, he is the greatest Christian that ever lived. And so Jesus was a friend of sinners. And sinners, of course, we think about what a sinner is. We can put whatever label on it. But at that time, it would have been considered those who ignore God's divine law and morals, which it's the same thing as today. A sinner is somebody, that group of people back then would have been the people that who ignored God's divine law and morals. Now, would you want your kids hanging around somebody like that? No. Would I want my wife just out hanging out with the sinners all the time? No. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about being a friend to those. And so then also you've got the publicans here. The publicans were the ones that collected taxes. And oftentimes back in those days, that they oppressed people. They were very oppressive to them. See, what they would do is they'd be the tax collectors. They'd go out and then they'd say, "Well, okay, according to this paper," they're thinking in their head, "Well, they only owe $100. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and charge them $150 and put $50 in my pocket." And I mean, that's what they did. I mean, to be honest with you, back then, that'd be the job I would want. That's awful, isn't it? I know the ones that are laughing are the ones that would think the same way, I think. Anyways. But Jesus, do you think Jesus just loved his personal self? Do you think he just loved being with those people? I mean, the human side of him. You know, I think Jesus had a personality too. I think Jesus had a interest that he liked also. I mean, he was a carpenter. I mean, there's probably things that he probably liked that in a certain sense. Jesus Christ probably had a personality about him that he probably thought, "Well, this was funny, but this wasn't." Or, "That's a corny joke. I don't like cornitos. I don't know. I mean, but think about it. Jesus, he was just as much human as he was man, but he was sinless. That's the difference there. And but Jesus, I don't know if he really did. Jesus did not desire or did not love and desire to be with these people because he loved who they were. What he did was. Of course, I'm getting mixed up my notes here, but he loved those people, and he desired to be with those people because he loved them, and he wanted to serve them, and because of that, he was a friend not only to the ones to the people that he liked, he was a friend to those that he didn't necessarily like. And you know, I could just kind of picture it now as Jesus was growing up. And, you know, his mom and dad probably said, you probably don't need to be hanging out with those friends, people over there. You probably don't need to be hanging out on that side of town. That's where, or with that family, or with those kids, because you know what? That could be a bad influence. Now, Jesus was perfect, but I could still see their Jesus' parents telling Jesus, well, let's just stay in here. Just you don't need to be hanging out over there with them. But the fact is that for us as adults, see, as Christian or as young people, you got to be careful about who your kids are around because of that influence that can be there. Because at that point in time, a teenager, a young adult, they can be swayed so easily with their thinking. And so, but as an adult, it's our duty to be as Jesus was. It's our duty to be as Christ was at this point, and it's our duty to love those that are sinners, that are publicans, or that were that type of people. And so Jesus was he wasn't just a friend to those that he loved, or that he liked. Jesus loved everybody, but he wasn't just a friend to those that he liked. He was a friend to those that he didn't that weren't necessarily like him. And he wasn't afraid to get out there and just, you know, to eat with them, to eat a meal with them, to spend a little time with them, to try to show them a little bit of love, show them some love from God there. And so Jesus Christ was a servant. He was the friend of friends. You know, a lot of times we have friends in this lifetime, but you know, when you really think about the friends that you have, are they really truly friends? Are they ones that would, in a hard time, are they Christ-like and you could call them at any time of the day? Are they friends that would be there with you no matter what happens? Or if you decide to run off and do something crazy or something, are they still going to be your friend, or are they going to separate themselves from you? No, Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what sin that a person commits. Doesn't matter how bad a bad decision somebody makes, Jesus Christ is still going to be your friend. Jesus Christ is still going to be the one that's going to be there with you. You know why? Because he was the friend of friend. And the point is tonight that a lot of times as Christians, we decide that we don't like people. There's some people we don't like. And so we decide, I'm going to be selfish. I'm not going to be their friend. I'm not going to just go get out of my comfort zone here. I'm just going to live my life, and I'm just going to forget those people that I don't like. Now, what? I mean, where's that from? I mean, that's wicked as the devil, and it comes straight from hell. That's where it comes from, and that's what it is. We need to get to the place where we're like Christ. We're Christ-like, and we start being a friend to people. That nobody wants. You know, this world, it just likes to spit you up and throw you out. Yeah. I've worked enough out in the world to know how it is. If I've seen it, and I was talking to my dad yesterday actually about the place that he worked, and when he still works there, but when he first got hired on there, he said he felt like he was in Nineveh. And how off just the cursing and just how people treat each other and everything, and it just an awful atmosphere, really. And the first job, or one of the first jobs that I had, it was in a place similar to that, where people would just, if they could, if they'd stab you in the back. If they could lie and say this about it, they would do it. And I mean, it was often, it was from the top down. And so, but the fact is that we as Christians ought to be different than that. We ought to set ourselves apart to be like Christ. And you know, the fact is that that Jesus, he's the ultimate Christian. He's the one that gave us the greatest example. And that's the example that we ought to strive to be like. We ought to just say, I want to be like Christ. I don't, you know, I'm gonna go get out on a bus route. I'm gonna get out there. I'm gonna try to find somebody that that maybe stinks a little bit. I'm not being silly right now. I'm being serious. You get out in some of those areas, some of those the towns. You walk into some of those homes, that they stink in there. I can remember working on a bus route when I was in college, and there were some boys, or this one little family. They would get on that bus, and they were dirty, and they were just, you know, hadn't been clean, taken care of. And I can remember this one little boy, and he had something dirty all over his hands. And I can remember getting some of those wipes on the bus there and just cleaning his hands off and everything. The fact is, we need to be like Christ. We need to love those. We need to love those that nobody loves. We ought to try to reach those that nobody wants, because those are the ones that Christ would set out to reach. And you know, the fact is, too, also, that there's people out there that are that like the drug dealers. They would be considered like the sinners. The people that are just out there, and they don't care. They don't care about life. All they care about is making money and getting high on some kind of drug. And you know, we ought to go after them too. We ought to try to make a friend out of them. We ought to be a friend to them. That's what I meant to say. We ought to let them know that, hey, I'm your friend. But the fact is, we gotta say, they gotta know that we're not going to be a part of that. But I'll be your friend when you need somebody, because the fact is, they will need somebody eventually. They will need somebody, because they'll hit rock bottom. They'll end up in jail. They'll end up at some point, and they'll think, well, who should I call? Who do I? Nobody else cares in this world. But hey, wait a minute. There was that one guy. What was his name? I don't know. I mean, we could say Brother Jeremy, I guess, or Brother Will, whoever. And the fact is, that person that knows that they've got one friend that might help them in this life, and it might be one of them. That's the type of friend that we need to be. Amen. That's the type of friend. We shouldn't care like Jesus didn't care. You see, Jesus didn't care what your personality was. He didn't care what your likes were. He didn't care what your dislikes were. He didn't care what your humor was. I wish everybody did that. No. But all he desired to be was a friend. That was one of his main goals on here while he was here on earth, was to be a friend. Which, what is being a friend? What's it really come down to? It comes down to being a servant. It comes down to being a servant. And Matthew 23:11 says, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." A servant. How many of you are a servant tonight? You know, we're talking about being a friend, and you know, the friend of friends, the greatest friend of all. That's the servant. And I can remember at my granny's funeral, she, of course, she grew up in a way where she didn't have anything. I mean, it was a pretty bad situation, and they didn't have much. And you know, they kind of went to church a little bit growing up, but I guess they would have been considered, that her family would have been considered like the ones that nobody wants. They're not going to make anything out of themselves. They're not worth anything. They're just dirty little kids that nobody, they're not going to become anything. But the fact is that my granny, she made a decision to be a friend, and she served others, and she worked hard. And I tell you this, she probably could have been a millionaire 10 times over, because she knew how to trade and she knew how to make a living. She learned that growing up, from trading apples and stuff like that, for goods and all that stuff. But the fact is, she was a friend to other people. And at her funeral, it was hilarious, because there were some people that were saying that, it's really not funny, but we knew she didn't like him. We knew she didn't like him, but they talked like she thought the world of them. My granny, she didn't hang out with a lot of people, but as far as, I mean, she would go out to eat with them and different things at times, but the fact is, there was people that she didn't necessarily like, but that didn't mean she didn't treat them like they were Jesus. See, that's where we fail in our Christian life. We don't treat people the way we should. We don't love them like we should. We don't be a servant to people like we should. And if we were, how do you think that would change the way people look at churches today, or at Baptist churches today? I mean, it'd probably change a lot. It'd probably change a lot, because, you know, a lot of times people think, just, you know, of course, it's their perception of what they've heard somebody say or whatever. But, you know, a lot of times people think, oh, they're just after your money. They just want you there to say they got a big crowd or they whatever. I don't know. But we need to get back to this thing of being a friend, being a servant. And, you know, it's time we stop being selfish. Because if you're not a servant, that means you're selfish. Because it's all about you. And it's all about your wants, your desires, your likes, your dislikes. And the truth is, if we get back to being a friend the way Christ was a friend, I mean, we could change this world. I mean, it would absolutely change the way people see Christians, because half the time people see Christians as hypocrites anyways. And the fact is, a lot of us are hypocrites. And I'm lumping myself into that group too, because I'm not perfect. And, I mean, I try to be Christ-like. I try to do the right things. I work hard at it, but I fail. But it's time that we just get back to being a friend and serving everybody. And you go ahead and stand. We'll to an invitation here. But the fact is,